I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hey, guys.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing, everybody?
It's Adam and Meg here. You seem particularly giggly right now.
I am very tired.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's just, I was studying. Here's the thing. In the year of our Lord 2016, a doctor saw fit to prescribe me some Adderall, right? Wonderful
sure.
drug. Everyone should have it.
Hmm.
Meg gave me a skeptical face.
Yeah, you know that, like, ADD medications gave me a heart problem at some point.
Oh, right,
like,
I didn't know that.
And
okay,
I've been on them since I was 13, but go on, go for it.
I like them. I've been prescribed them a handful of times.
Do you have ADD?
Yes, I've been diagnosed with ADD.
Oh, good. I didn't know we were in the club together. That's
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, we're in the club. Yeah, I, like, took a bunch of tests, and they were like, yeah, you super got it.
But you're so smart and good, like, you get stuff done. I don't ever accomplish anything.
I mean, I was supposed to do homework in the last hour, and I played an hour of video games instead.
Do you ever, like, go, like, I'm opening up my computer for a very distinct purpose. Oh, my God, I got distracted. Why did I open this?
Yeah, like, all the time. And refresh YouTube constantly when I'm like, I didn't even know my phone was in my hand.
I thought, like, I remember in 2013, I like went to the doctor because I thought I had like early onset like Alzheimer's because like I had both ADD and mom brain at the same time. So I'd be like just completely like, what? Like I just, my brain wasn't there. But they was like, no, it's just really bad ADD still. And that's
yeah,
that,
I have,
that's
yeah, I like can't, I have a hard time remembering anyone's name.
Sure.
Information they have just, my short-term memory is bad.
Do you ever call people by the wrong name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I do that as it's so, like, I only have a node for, like, person, and then I just cycle through every name I've ever heard until I get to the right person, almost.
Some people really don't like it, and I don't get why you don't like it. I've been called the wrong name before. It's fine. People call me Alan sometimes, and you know what? I say, hey, it's Adam, and then I forget about that instance.
But that's good.
And that's okay. Oh, but anyway, I haven't been prescribed it in a while, and I had an old bottle, and I took a half of one yesterday to do homework, and boy, did that keep me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was up till 3-ish in the morning. Well, up till 2 doing homework, and then up, I watched Friday the 13th Part 2.
I would say that if I took Adderall, all I would do, with Concert as well, is now, without anything to concentrate on, I would just sweat, completely evacuate every part of my bowel, and then pop any type of blackhead on my face.
Oh, it was a banner night for my colon. I got a lot out. It was wonderful. That part ruled.
Yeah, man.
And I had a cup of coffee at 9 too, which wasn't smart.
Yeah, doubling down. I can't even have like a Coca-Cola without it destroying my stomach and keeping me up and giving me the sweats. So, like, I'm off of all stimulants because of, well, they're bad for my like very tender heart, but
yeah,
also like my body just reacts to them badly now.
I don't think they do anything to my heart. Like, I don't like go heart racy.
That's good.
Yeah,
you don't get paranoid.
No,
really?
No, I get paranoid on marijuana.
I get like I focus on the wrong thing, like, almost obsessively to the point where I'm, like, down a rabbit hole far too deeply.
On pot?
No, on ADD medication.
Oh. No, ADD medication, it does, it's as advertised for me.
I mean, I'm happy for you. I think I was just on way too much of it too young for too long, and now it's, my body's like, you can't go back. Which is fine. I don't want to. It really makes me feel miserable. But marijuana, also, if it catches me at the wrong mood, bad time. And beer, you know, that guy.
That's why daiquiris. That's the only drug we need.
Oh, God. I hope we get to go to a tiki bar together
Big frozen drinks with a bunch of umbrellas and shit in them.
Sometimes on fire, sometimes
I was about, yep, and the server's got to come light it on fire.
Oh my goodness, you know what's not COVID-friendly and won't be for a while is those scorpion bowls. How are we?
Yeah,
gonna...
where you suck them all up with the same straw with your friends.
Yeah, one big bowl for eight people.
And sometimes you blow bubbles in it, even though that has horrifying implications for everyone else, depending on your current health.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, you came to one time, so my 30th birthday party, you were there, you remember.
It's like the first thing I went to that, like, I knew you, like, I think that you invited me to. I had been to things that you were at, but, like, not knowing you that well. I guess we'd gone to Power Rangers before this. Anyway, you go on. Sorry.
I definitely invited you to shows. But I was like, Adam, come to my 30th. And you showed up, and somebody bought a scorpion bowl, and somebody tried to blow the fire out, but it shot the, like, lighter fluid onto the table and set something else on fire. And everybody was freaking out, but I was so drunk from my birthday, I just took a drink and put it on top of the fire, and it went out. And I was like, wow, that was sick. I'm really confident when I'm drunk.
It's pretty crazy that that's not breaking some sort of law, that in a bar, you can light stuff on fire, legally. It's okay.
In a bar like a tiki bar that's just covered in wood and bullshit trinkets.
Covered in wood and alcohol.
And paper lanterns.
And you know what? Throw a little bit of fire in there. And don't worry, because everyone's decision-making in this place
is going to be spot on. Yeah. God damn, I love Tiki now. Anyways, all right, so anyway, we watched an episode of...
Speaking of stimulants, this show's about meth.
There it is. I don't even know, what is the name of it? Grilled. This, that makes
grilled,
sense.
Grilled, and it's, I think it's a double meaning for his grill and for they're getting grilled, and maybe also because it's hot out, I don't know. But
I bet it's hot in that part of New Mexico.
They were real sweaty the first time we see our boys.
Well, they had also been locked in a trunk, but we should begin in the beginning.
No, yeah, I like this episode a lot. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think this is quite possibly a perfect episode of television. This is one of my favorites.
This one is?
This one is. I think I love this episode, and I'm excited to explore it.
All right, so you know what? They do balance the A story and the B story very well, you know?
Yeah, and I like that the B story kind of fades away until you kind of forget about it, and then Hank drives into the A story.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful.
Also, I guess in just terms of dramatic tension, this is where they utilized Tio Salamanca the best.
Yeah, there is one Achilles heel in this episode that we'll get to later. I'll bring it up when it happens, but that I think I'm like, ooh, that's fucking stupid. But besides that, I think it's close to a perfect. A little bit maybe less for you because you know no one's going to die besides Tuco. I think I've told you about this. I told you that because we're obviously close to the beginning of the second season, right?
Yes.
The first season was cut short due to the, like, 07, 08 writer strike.
Yeah.
And did I tell you that it was very much, the first season was supposed to be 10 episodes, got cut down to 7. So the first season kind of ends, just ends.
Yeah.
And I told you that they were planning, like, Jesse was scripted to die, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that this, the planned finale of the first season would have been something like this. Mm-hmm. But Jesse would have died. I don't know. Thoughts? Maybe? I don't know.
I think Hank would have killed him.
Hank would have killed Jesse?
Yeah. But not seen Walt. And I think it would have fucked
his life. Maybe.
I think that might have, that to me would have been like the most like, holy shit, you know, moment where it gets so close. Because that's what it seems like, right? Like, what if the shootout happened where Walt really does, why not? What if the shootout happens where instead of Jesse gaining the upper hand with a rock, Walt does just shoot Tuco. And then... you know, something happens where Hank, you know, rolls up, but Walt hides and Jesse and he get into a shootout or whatever, and Hank kills Jesse. Or, I don't know. I think that would have been probably quite a way to end season one, where people would have been like, dude, I gotta see what happens next.
Yeah.
You know?
Man. Every time we talk about what might have happened if it just the other one of the big things in the I think there's a scene between Jesse and Walt Jr. that never happens that I think could have been really good, but never happened. I think they those characters I think could have met at some point and talked about their one's father figure and really hammered out. Like, I would have watched a fly like episode of Jesse and Walt Jr. talking.
I would have loved to have Walt Jr. kind of do what he did to Hank in that one time where Hank is like, I can't, I'm in a wheelchair, I can't do nothing. And, you know, Walt Jr. say like, oh, so disabled people, what, they shouldn't be allowed to live in real life? And I feel like Jesse would be the type of person to use some type of derogatory term for a disabled person and then like have Walt Jr. like correct him and him be like, oh, I don't think he would have been an asshole even then, like, really looked at the way he spoke. Because it seems like Jesse isn't beyond correction when he's, like, confronted with something. And so I don't know why that's the conversation I wanted him to have. But, you know.
But we'll never know.
Yeah.
And
unless,
that's frustrating.
I don't know what El Camino has. I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I forgot. El Camino, they fuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how did I forget that? Yeah, they fuck a bunch, Jesse and Walt Jr. I totally forgot about that. I'm so stupid. Spoiler alert.
I know we're going to watch El Camino, but I also think we're going to... So we're going to watch El Camino, and probably we'll get to this scene where, you know, if the Schwartzes did what they were supposed to do comes into play. I don't know. But I imagine that once Walt Jr. gets the $9 million or whatever, he just is like, I know Jesse Pinkman's associated with my dad, and I'm going to give him $100,000, so let me fuck him. And then, yep, that's what happens.
So you did you watch it on your own?
No, but I did I read something on Vulture about it.
Yeah. Oh, no, oh, that was also in all the trailers. They only focused on that scene, which was weird. Because it's, you know, it's a significant scene, but it's not most of the running time. But okay, I guess we'll begin at the beginning, like you tried to do many minutes ago, and I stopped all over.
Before we went down a weird path, yeah.
At least this tangent was actually about the show we talk about.
But not the Adderall tangent, but yes, okay.
The Adderall tangent wasn't. No, the Adderall tangent was for you and me.
Yes.
This one was for the listeners. Okay. And because they had to deal with an Adderall tangent because you naughty boys and girls didn't rate, review, and subscribe this week. So
we're going to go on a tangent about something that's only pertinent to us as a punishment every episode now, because that'll be how we maintain and grow our audiences, to punish them.
If you guys don't like hearing about wolf piss, then I'd rate, review, and subscribe before next week, because we have takes.
We have... very colorful takes. So it begins with, you know what this reminded me of? Is the noise that the automatic machine gun on the Erector set makes when it's all out of bullets. Like
when it's just like, because it opens, the cold opens literally just, it shows the aftermath of the shootout and Jesse's bouncing car's bouncing.
Yeah, but
that's
you don't
it.
Realize it's the bouncing car until...
Yeah, you think
it's
two people be fucking.
Yeah,
and
as I often think.
Yeah, it kind of. I was like, oh yeah, my roommate must be fucking. Oh wait, no, I'm watching a show. there's like bullet casings on the ground, and the music's getting ominous, and you're like, whoa, something crazy must happen here. And from then on, you're locked in. Oh, a daughter's entered the closet.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Sorry. Oh. So that's the end of the cold open. Yes.
Yeah. And then they play the theme song,
which we all know by heart.
We all know by heart. It's like, in a little town of Albuquerque, New Mexico, two boys, they're friends, but sometimes they're not. They like to make money and also study. Just kidding. They only like money, boys.
And then it's like the Bewitched animation where Walt rides on the top of Jesse's bouncing car and it comes in like that and he goes, moo, and that's the end.
Mm-hmm. That's it. it's shortened for syndication, but if you watch a new episode, you get the full animation.
Yeah. Well, we've taped it on the VCR and that's how we're watching it.
Yeah, that's how we see it. But if you watch it syndicated, it's just like... and now they're boys. That's all you see.
That's it.
Because they have to. They want to fit more commercials in on syndication.
Yeah, no, that's how they make their money. Is shorter intros. So
here's the thing, guys. TV's run by corporations, and we can't forget that.
TV only exists for the ad slots between the content. It's wild.
If you would watch an anus have SpaghettiOs come out of it, and you would watch it and watch the commercials before and after it, they'd put it on the air.
Just so they could sell you SpaghettiOs.
They could sell you that. Or, like, a car.
Yeah, or, like, insurance for your dog. Or, you know, a collection of newly minted 2021 quarters that are special just for this year.
Oh, yeah. I used to collect those state quarters.
Oh, my God, did you really?
I had an aunt who got us, like, a little fold-out booklet, and it had a slot for each state, and I think we got to, like, 10.
And then you're like, I want these to buy Coca-Colas.
Yeah, I need it. I was at a vending machine, and I was like, and also you see them all pretty frequently, right? Like having all a set of 50 wouldn't be that fucking special, would it?
No. So that's the thing where it's like, it's the ultimate hodl, right? It's the ultimate hold on for dear life. Like you have to hold on to it for nearly a century for it to be important. Like until those get taken out of circulation, you have to hold on to it.
That makes sense.
So, I mean, I imagine at some point they'll be very valuable, but maybe your grandchildren will benefit from that. I don't know.
I'm not gonna have grandchildren. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I will. We'll see. Mm. That's for me to decide, not you, listener.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Okay, what was the other thing? The other thing was the whole episode.
The whole episode of television happens after the theme song. And it opens with probably my least favorite scene of the episode, just because it's a little corny, which is, this isn't the shitty part I was talking about, but Hank pumping up the DEA that they're going to find Tuco. Good little bit of exposition.
Yeah, I mean, so what I was disappointed in is this Tuco's mugshot's really sexy, but the man isn't. I don't think that I've seen my dad, like, go in the mornings when he was a sergeant and, like, talk to the police on, you know, that shift, but it's just, like, a rundown of, like, you know, this house had some, you know, noise activity, we have reports of some street racing over here. And there's, you know, it's a holiday, so be on the lookout for people walking to and from temple or whatever. It was never this dramatic of like a whole little play with like a banter back and forth that.
Well, the only thing I'd say to that is like, it's not, cause your dad was just like in a police department, right?
Yeah.
And this is the DEA in like, I mean, I guess Albuquerque's not a small town, but like, not like Chicago. And they're starting a manhunt.
I know, but this has happened so many times where we've had this conversation where I'm like, I don't think the morning briefs are like this, even for the DEA, you know?
You're probably right, yeah.
But yes, I agree that it's a little corny, right?
It is a little corny. They save it a little bit for when he gets them all pumped up and he walks out of the room and he's like, we're not going to find him. He's in Mexico. I like that. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's a little of that... It's weird. We're seeing no PTSD Hank, which is a weird Hank to know.
So he's just a confident, collected man right now.
He's just Hank the boy, running around doing Hank stuff.
So this episode of television is where things start to go downhill for him.
Yeah.
He gets traumatized after this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then every elevator ride is him going. they go to that well a lot on the show.
They do. There's a lot of Hank crying in private in the elevator. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, but here's also the deal. Oh, and he says some. I don't know if you caught any of it, but they were talking about what was going on with Tuco in that scene and like setting up stuff, which was just that, like, they found one of his associates dead, named Gonzo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't catch all of it, but...
Yeah, and they raided Tuco's hideout.
Okay, yeah. But then Tuco talks about Gonzo later, so...
Yes.
Yes.
Tuco thinks Gonzo informed on the police, but he didn't.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. So then in the hallway, Hank tells Gomez... hey, I gotta take some personal time. My brother-in-law, he's missing. That scamp. And Gomez is like, okay, let me know if you need anything. Poor timing, but what can you do? And that's kind of the end of that conversation. And he gets in the elevator for the last time as a man who is complete and whole in his mental firmness.
The elevator is purely a vessel from getting from one floor to the next.
Yes.
And yeah, I think after that they go to like Skylar and Marie are distributing signs.
Well,
that Walt's
missing. I thought it was like he went straight to Skylar's house and then they had that conversation.
Righteous, you're right. You're right.
yeah, and so then she was like having a conversation with that cop who I didn't realize how much he was just kind of the staple of the only cop in Albuquerque.
He's like the cop you call in favors for. Because, you know, he's not like a beat cop you can get. Like when they call, when Skylar called the police on Walt, he didn't come running.
Man, remember when we found out that that cop that was that one who showed up to the time when he was like, I'm in the house and I'm not leaving, was like a pederast? Sorry.
Oh, I did. Oh, yeah, we did make that little discovery. That was wild.
Yeah, that was upsetting. Anyways, going forward.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then Hank, like, snoops in Walt's car, but nothing really comes of that. He just kind of does it.
Yeah, I think he's just like, yeah, what's going on here? So, in the conversation with the friendly police officer from Albuquerque PD, we, you know, cover all the bases, you know, that sets an ominous tone where it's like, did Walt kill himself, maybe, do you think? And then she brings...
So this is where we find out for sure that Walt doesn't have any tattoos.
Yeah, which is too bad because I thought he had like a... well, no, I was about to say tramp stamp, but maybe I thought she would be like, oh no, he has a Jacob's Ladder up, or is a Prince Charles or something like that.
I don't know what either of those are.
I think a Prince Charles is a piercing through the tip of his penis and a Jacob's Ladder is piercings up through like the penis shaft.
Yeah, I guess the only part of Bryan Cranston's body we haven't seen is the taint and the dick and balls.
Yeah, so I thought maybe she'd be like, no tattoos, but he does have heavy genital piercings or something.
Yeah. I don't really get... I almost said I don't really get those, but you know what? I get it. If you want to get one of those, I get it.
I don't...
If you want to look shiny...
I don't get it.
I'm not going to shame you. No.
I would not, if I saw that, I would be like, and I was about to engage in sexual congress with a man. I would say like, I don't want that metal inside me. I don't know how well you clean it. That seems like a trap for bacteria.
The only thing I would want to do would be make my testicles spiky looking.
Why?
obviously there are some like performance problems that would bring about mostly for the other person. If they could look like those like spiky balls Bowser throws at you, King of the Koopas, Bowser, you know Bowser, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Bowser's shell almost. I don't know.
Yeah, like Bowser's shell. Yeah, if I could have two little Bowser shells down there, I think I would really like that. I think it'd look cool.
I'm just not sure about that.
I'm not gonna do it because I don't have the money, but you know, that's what I would do if I had like, I don't know how much it would, like $80 million or whatever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Walt doesn't have that.
Well he doesn't have any tattoos. He didn't use it to do that. He just gave it to Nazis.
$80 million. Yes. True.
So then he's like, Skylar gets a little shitty with the cop because he's kind of, you know, relying heavily on her to do his job, which doesn't seem fair.
You want to just do all the B stuff and then we'll go to the desert?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems good. What fucking happened? Oh, then she's like, oh, did you look into the phone call he got?
Uh-huh.
And then Hank's like, I'm looking into it. And then Hank and the policeman are walking outside. He's like, guess what? Wasn't on the phone records. Second cell phone.
And the cop goes, shit.
Cheating ass motherfucker is what he says. No, he doesn't. Oh, speaking of the word fuck, this is one of the few episodes, actually, I mean, as you're going to learn, most of the ones with Tuco, where I'm like, this character probably should have been written with some F words, and they can't.
Yeah.
Because he really watches his potty mouth.
Yeah.
For a guy who's going nuts.
Yeah, this man is explosive.
We'll get to him. Yeah, yeah. Not hot. He's not hot. That's what's important.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. But... Okay, sorry. Oh, yeah, I think they, like, go right to, later on, Hank is back, because this shows Hank leaving, but then the next scene we see of them, it's Hank back in the living room with Marie this time. It's a different time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're right, they get
because Marie's the one who gives them that idea, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Hank comes back.
Oh, well, I guess they hang up the posters between now and then, right?
Yeah, they hang up the posters. This is like almost a C story or a D story. It's like a reference to a story almost that doesn't happen, where they're like papering the town with images of Walt. And then Marie says to, you know, Marie's like saying, what exactly? Like, oh, we'll go get some more posters. And then Skylar's like, okay, yep. And then she's like, the tiara, I'm telling you, the tiara. And I know this has something to do with shoplifting, but I don't know.
Let me tell you, it's going to get blown wide open. It's going to reframe the structural integrity of this show. Don't you worry.
Structural integrity?
Yeah.
It's going to make it maybe a worse show.
No, but it's going to make it, you're going to be like, I thought I was watching one type of show, and now, what? Oh, I've been watching a different type of show. It's been Marie's story the whole time, is what you're going to say.
Okay, so we get her trying to start some shit, and then Skylar's like, for the love of God, Marie, shut your fucking mouth. And Marie's like, okay, yeah. You're right, not the time. I don't understand how Skylar doesn't just, like, take Marie's mandible in her fucking palm and go, like, shut up, you know?
You get an assault charge, even though it's your sister.
I mean, I understand why she doesn't do it. I just, it would be so hard not to be like, you have to never speak again, ever, you dumb lady. Mm-hmm, like, to be way meaner than Skylar's being in this moment.
Yeah. I'd think it was mean. Yeah, they pass, and then Junior on a pretty old printer is printing out more
in color too. That would have taken forever.
But it's with the ribbon going like back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah.
There's lines that shouldn't be there. And they I don't know if you saw this. They like briefly show like money and a gun handle coming out of the diaper box.
Oh yes, I did catch that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah, and then later in the living room, Skylar's like, I just don't know what to do about my missing husband. And Marie's like, but what about the second cell phone? And Hank gives a big Y-I-Otta face. Some good nonverbal acting from Dean Norris there. It was wonderful.
Yeah, Jesus, Marie is something I feel like he said. And kind of Hank, you know, a little bit talking down to Skylar almost is like, okay, you know, we got a second. We there was no calls incoming and nothing dropped from the phone company's point of view. So that leads me to believe that he has a second cell phone. And Skylar goes, why for? Would he ever have a second cell phone? And Hank goes like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not trying to tell you your business. I'm just saying, you know, he's trying to keep something from you. Everybody's got secrets, you know, it's just part of the mystery. Yeah.
I don't get why, like, the fact that the writers even introduced the idea that it, like, cell phones have alarms, I don't get why no one's coming to that conclusion. Why everyone's like, oh, it's a second cell phone.
Oh, yeah, like, are we sure we didn't just hear him get a, yeah, like, or, yeah, they, like, why couldn't she have come up, like, everybody's just like, he's probably cheating on her. But one thing I will say is I was always all for Skylar leaving Walt, always. Uh-huh. So it didn't really strike me as odd when, you know, he got that surgery and was all drugged up and said, which one? And that she was immediately like, oh, fuck this, I'm leaving. But now it makes a lot more sense that when he made that mistake, drugged out of his mind, she glommed onto it so severely, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I guess, you know, suspension of disbelief, whatever. It's just when I had a flip phone, used that alarm for everything.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I did not.
I didn't have an alarm. My phone was my alarm, and it still is.
I guess my phone was my alarm when I was when I had a cell phone. I guess that woke me up. I had like 5 alarms at different places inside my room though, because I needed to be one of those people that had to like get up to turn it off or whatever.
See, I don't get that. I have a lot of friends like that, but I've tried it. I was like, I'll set my alarm across my room. Then, I will trick myself into having to get up, but joke's on me, I can just go back to bed once I turn the alarm off.
What I would do is then just lay down on the ground, and then eventually I would be like, this is stupid, I should get off the ground and get up and go.
Oh, that's the trick, huh? Okay.
Yeah, that's the trick. No, I don't sleep as deeply as when I was a teenager, so it's not really that difficult for me to get myself to get out of bed. Well, that's not true. I'm at least awake while I'm laying in bed now, you know.
That's fun. I like sleeping on the floor.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I think I'm tired of this. I don't like I don't do it, but like if I laid on the floor, I'd be like, I'll lay down on the floor for a little while.
I know you mentioned it, I guess. And I know anytime we've like suggested going on a trip together, you're always like, no, it's fine, I'll sleep on the floor. Like, we could get 2 queens. You're like, no, have the big bed. I'll lay on the floor.
I'll lay on the floor. It's fine. I like the floor.
Yeah.
Floor's great.
But then a pandemic happens every time we go on a trip or try to.
Yeah, that stinks that keeps happening.
Yeah, that time.
Yeah, we should record an episode in Las Vegas at some point.
No, that would be, that's the dream. That would be my dream. Yeah.
We are here in the Bellagio, waist deep in daiquiri juice, and
they have
ready to talk.
We have, I'm sure you've seen it because you've been to Vegas, but like those daiquiri bars, like you can get like a yard of daiquiri that like they give you a lanyard to carry around your neck. So like,
and like a big old sugary drink like that, that'd make you feel awesome the next day, right? You'd feel like $1 million.
For me. For one, if you're trying to like be drunk all day and not spend, you know, $300 on booze, that's the cheapest way to do it. But for me, the next day, generally speaking, I've walked around like 8 miles that day because it's just so much walking in Vegas and up and down the strip that like I don't really feel that awful. But even if I have drank like 300 grams of sugar or whatever, but yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But it does mess with your stomach, for sure.
Las Vegas. I was thinking, like, you'd get a big hangover from all that, right?
I have never had a bad hangover in Vegas, as odd as that is. I've always, you know, ate and drank and moved around enough where I was active enough it didn't F with me too bad, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, and then Marie's also like, well, didn't Walt used to be a big old pothead?
And then, yeah, it's Skylar's like, Marie. And he's like, no, you know, weed and pot go hand in, or weed and cancer go hand in hand. Go talk to the guy's weed dealer. What the fuck? I thought we would see Jesse's mom finding his meth lab. I thought that was like a scene we would actually see, but I guess it's just inferred, huh?
Yeah. No, they don't actually. We don't see it.
Seems like we should have seen that. I don't know.
No, because then it's a reveal in the law room.
Because
they'll be like, guess what? And you know, he's like, oh, God. Because they're like pretty minor characters.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, it kind of feels like the scene we see with, you know, Hank and Jesse's mom is not damning of Jesse. So when she's like, oh, DEA agent showed up at our door looking for you, it's he's like, I'm not here as a DEA agent, I'm only here looking for my brother-in-law. So when they use that as a I mean, obviously finding a meth lab's a bummer, but like they made it seem like the DA was like, "Where's your fucking son? He's doing the drugs deals." That's not. Yeah. I don't know.
Just from like what this type of woman seems like, just the fact that a DA agent came asking for him would make me as like, I don't know, classic stereotypical worried boomer mom would think like, oh, he's up to something, and then checks on the house and he's like, oh, look, a fucking meth lab.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It just, I don't know. It's one of those things that I felt like I needed to see, but I get it. So anyways, what was that, the next scene, or did I? Yeah, that was the next scene in the...
Yeah, and this is the last scene of the B story, and then everything else is all Desert Baby. Okay. It's this is where he mentions how he is going to find the car.
Okay, yeah, the LoJack, what you said?
LoJack, yeah, he asks, does he still drive that car? And she's like, yeah, it bounces a lot. I thought it was stupid. Mine doesn't bounce at all. And he's like, calls some guy, and he's like, I bet. LoJack, what are those called when the cars bounce? What is that really called? I forget, hydraulics?
Yeah,
is that
that's
it?
Hydraulics.
That's just, there's not a cooler name. It's just because hydraulics is like an engineering term. Like, is it?
No, yeah, they just like call it like it's got hydraulics, I think, on it.
Oh, it's not hydraulics with a Z at the end or anything like that. It's just hydraulics.
Well, it's with an interrobang, if that helps.
What's an interrobang?
It's a question mark and an exclamation point together.
Oh, cool. Oh, that has a word? Mm-hmm. That's just not. Oh, wow. Didn't. Wow. Okay.
So it's hydraulics?
Hydraulic? Oh, big fan of that. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to bet this has LoJack. And I love that that's the last we see Hank until he drives.
But what does that mean, LoJack?
LoJack is a GPS thing that I'm assuming a lot of people who get hydraulics put in their cars because they don't want it to get stolen? I don't know.
Ah, stupid.
I don't know how he would have like the jurisdiction to look up
Hank
where it
operates
is.
Operates a lot outside of his own jurisdiction, right? Yeah. Like, so he was kind of like, hey, I got a favor for you. Can you do it? Like, type of thing. But, yeah.
Yeah. The only, I guess, suspension for me on this is he already was, like, reluctant to even think there was a tie.
Yeah.
Between, and so I was like, to kind of break through the red tape and just fucking do this on the thought that maybe this weed dealer knows where your brother-in-law is.
Yeah, that is weird that he, and then he would be like, I guess I'm going to Mexico just to check out this car.
I don't think they're in Mexico because okay. He's saying the twins are going to smuggle him across the border.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But still, I don't think he's close to Albuquerque.
Yeah. But also, everyone finds out what he did and he doesn't get any trouble for it because like he has to debrief why he was there. And yeah. He seems fine. He's like, yeah, I tracked a car and used the GPS.
Because my, yeah, all right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was just a different time back then, because I know if they, like, do even just, like, a fucking around with the database type search, they'll be like, you're going to lose your job if you just search up random people for no reason, you know?
Two words, Meg. Patriot Act, baby. I added a third word. Yeah.
Yeah.
9/11 was a weird time.
It really was.
Mm-hmm. What grade were you in 9/11?
I just started high school. It was like...
That makes sense, because I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, it was just like a few days into high school, and we were in first period, and I went to York High School in Illinois, mm-hmm. and we were getting a new building at that time, and so when the principal came on the announcements to announce what happened, she said, there's been... terrible accident in New York. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't clear what was going on. You know, yeah, it was like 8-something in the morning when it happened. But
it was really fucking early. I forgot about, I always forget about that.
Yeah, but we were also like the building that we're about to go, like we all thought it was the New York that we were about to go into, the New York High School, not New York City, because we're stupid. Oh. So we were all like, what's wrong with our school? Do we need to leave? That's my 9/11 story. And it was terrible. And I definitely had my second or third period teacher, the science teacher. He was like very mean about it. He was like, I know you're all worried about your country, but we have lab science to do today. And it was like, nah, dickhead, put the news on.
I appreciate, I like, I'm on his side. What are you guys gonna do? What are you guys gonna do?
I don't know, but it was a moment to process.
Well, here's what happened at our school. I went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And we went to a prayer service. And guess what? Our prayers didn't help.
You don't know. It could have been way worse if you didn't.
Oh, wait, really?
I don't know. I might have saved lives. Nobody's to say. Who's to say?
Oh, true. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we only see one reality, so there's no way.
You can know.
Okay, Meg just proved there's a God. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good night.
I know I'm going to make a lot of changes in my life. Whoa. All right. That hit hard. Okay. Yeah, now we can do all the desert. Now that we ate our vegetables, now we can have our dessert.
Okay, so Tuco's insane is what I've
discovered.
Yeah,
the first. So Meg was like, "Hey, that Tuco mugshot's hot," and then we see him breaking cell phones.
Yeah.
In the desert, and you were like, "Ah, he's not that hot."
But yeah, and then he was just fucking nuts for 45 minutes, like.
So. Fun fact, I love all the like classic stuff that comes out of the show from like actors not being, because like Mike was only on the show because Bob Odenkirk got cast as a guest star on How You Met Your Mother and couldn't make filming. And so they cast Mike. Gus is only on the show. It's because the actor who played Tuco couldn't keep being a regular on the show.
Why? What did he have?
I don't fucking know. Something.
Wait, hold on. Let me yell at my son. Hey, Brock. Brock. Okay, he said sorry. Okay.
What was he doing?
He's just being a little loud boy.
Fucking Brock.
Yeah.
Being loud.
I just had to say his name twice and go, sorry.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find something. No, I can't find anything besides like in-universe stuff, which I, for obvious reasons, can't share with you.
You just can't share it.
But there's no trivia. Oh, here's some trivia. Yeah, Tuco was originally supposed to be the main antagonist of season 2, but due to Raymond Crew having difficulties portraying the character. Oh, he was having difficulties portraying the character. I mean, it takes a lot of energy, it seems, to be Tuco.
Maybe it was just not what they were hoping for, to just going spastic. I don't know.
They wanted him. He was the one who said no.
So he was like, I'm just not connecting with this insane person?
I think this is a really good performance. I know he's a lot.
Yeah, that guy is just a headache, man.
Yeah. He was on some other show at the same time playing a cop, and I've watched clips of it, and it's weird just watching him be a normal guy, a cop.
I guess, like, here's how, like, a blind view of this, I feel like, happens through season 1, and I have no idea if this is true, but I can't imagine Walt, after seeing this behavior in the beginning, would have done business with this guy regardless. So I have to imagine it was just like he slowly turned into this and it got too far and they didn't know how to get out of it, you know?
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I guess that's the only way seeing it from this point, it's like, Walt, why would you ever get involved with this guy to sell your drugs, you know?
They needed to sell those drugs.
Unless somehow he like was forced into business with this guy because of some interaction where he killed somebody and like they had to kind of go into business because of something he did stupid really early on and was like almost forced underneath Tuco. Like, you fucked up so bad, now you're mine because you killed my other drug manufacturers and I'm gonna kill you unless you cook for me, kind of thing. Unless that was the case, I have to imagine that like whatever arrangement they had just deteriorated as Tuco showed more of his behavior and Walt didn't know how to get out of it until they like tried to kill him or something and it showed up here. I don't know.
Stay tuned and see.
Yeah, sorry. We'll find out. Wrong and they just met at Disney World or something and I'm totally... You know.
They might have. California Adventure is not that far from Albuquerque, right?
It's got to be like a 2.5 day drive.
Days?
2 days. Oh, wow. Well, like not... Maybe. It's got to be like 20 hours, right?
Is that 20 hours? 20 whole
Maybe
hours?
Maybe like
wow,
18.
That western side of the country is a lot bigger than I think it is.
Yeah, it's huge. There's like a lot of land out west.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. But yeah, Tuco. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like... you've met him now. We've heard him talked about for a long time.
A long time.
How does him in the flesh mesh with the image you had in your head?
It's very much at odds with what I thought. I did not expect this guy at all. I guess I thought more of a gangbanger type and not like a lunatic, you know? Mm. I thought maybe, you know, a more streetwise, you know, cartel type even, instead of a full-blown crazy person. Yeah.
Yeah, they really write Gus to be his opposite in many ways, you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I don't know, because I think we both like Gus more so far.
Yeah.
But Gus also has a lot more. I mean, fuck. Because Tuco, how many? We have 8 episodes left of this shit, and...
Is it just 8?
Yeah, we only have 8 episodes left.
This is
2 months,
season 2, episode 2?
Yep.
So, oh, wow.
And Gus was obviously, like, in season 2, and then, like, a main thing in season 2 and 3. So he had 26 episodes to run around and...
And
do
4,
shit. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he was, season 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I think a lot about the fact that they just brought up that he had kids, Gus had kids once. I think about that too much.
I do too. I don't get why.
Like, I think, does he have children who are just like...
We got one season of Better Call Saul to find out. They're filming it right now. Like, I don't know. Write to Peter Gould. He's making Better Call Saul right now. Tell him to just write it in the script.
Let me know. Yeah.
Write a monologue where he just says, I say I have kids to blend in, but I don't.
Or it's like,
if you ever hear me say I have kids.
I have 8 kids, but I like to keep my work life and my personal life very separate. Like, just say that. Like, give it to us one way or another. Because to me, it's way more upsetting for him to have a bunch of toys at his house. Like, that's creepy.
As just cover?
Yeah. Just like, oh, what
were there a bunch of toys? I forget. It's been
he had
a
like
long
a Playmobil table. He had like a coloring set. He had like a section. Like, it was passable for like what you think Gus would present his children. Like, children like to color. They do art. I had an easel. And they, like, play with Mega Blocks or whatever. Like, you know, that's what I think Gus thinks kids do. Whether he would parent them like that, probably. I don't know that there's much differentiation outside of he'd probably be like, I'm sorry, there's dried pureed fruit on the ground. My children are very messy, unless they're not newborns. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot to think about there.
The thing that I think about more, and I guess you really wouldn't be able to think about this, is Mike's granddaughter somehow gets older in Better Call Saul, which is 5 years before all this.
Yeah, like, she was such a, like, her age is confounding as well, right? Because, like, just the things that she enjoys as a however year old are strange.
I guess she's like... I guess she seems like 10 in Better Call Saul, but she also seems 10 or 12 at the very most here.
She's not 14. 12. She's like, if anything, I'd say she is like an 8-year-old girl, but she's like physically an 8-year-old girl who's asking things of her grandfather that a 4.5-year-old would ask. Like, balloons, push me on the swing, like... pop watch. My kids make me watch them do stuff all the time, but like and it's like, you know, like, watch me, and then he'll like, Brock will just like dive on his belly on the bed, and it's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Sick,
that's a pretty cool
dude.
Trick I've seen.
Yeah,
it. When he does that, it's like, whoa, like, huh. I couldn't do that. Oh, and then also, yeah, we see Mike's fucking daughter-in-law for like a non-speaking role in season 3, and she's like, plays a part in Better Call Saul, and she could not look more different. It's very funny having noticed that now. Anyway, this episode could not be less about all those things.
Okay, so yes, Tuco's a real headache. He's ripping apart cell phones. He's being mean to everybody in the trunk of Jesse's car, and he drags them and pushes them, and he's like, get up! And that was the first time where I was like, this guy... is a lot.
And he dresses up like Skylar when he opens the trunk for like a second, and then he snaps out of it because he's a warlock.
Oh, that's true. He is a warlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to shoot you a bunch, but he doesn't. And this is the first appearance of Hector Salamanca.
Okay, that checks out. I believe that, and I'm not going to miss him when he's not there.
Really?
No. What does that man do besides ring a bell and shit his pants?
He rings a bell and he kills Gus.
That's true. I mean, he is very major, but still.
Yeah.
He's
a cool guy.
I don't know.
And he can't even speak, but he's like, these fuckers are trying to kill my nephew, whom I love. I'm going to do something about it.
Okay, so yeah, we see him we see everybody in this shack, and Tio is watching telenovelas or just shitty Spanish television, and Tuco throws a gallon of water and the boys splash it all over their bodies and lick it off each other's faces and go hee hee.
He does. They're very excited.
Yeah, water is so good. Thank you. And then, basically, what does he say? He's like, the plan is that he's gonna take Walt down.
He searches through their wallet, and you kind of learn. He's like, he didn't even know Walt's name.
Oh yeah. I thought your name was Heisenberg.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. And he, and Jesse uses protection, which I wouldn't have expected. He finds a condom in Jesse's wallet.
You would have thought. But almost, like, think he would have already had a child if he didn't, you know?
Yeah.
And he may.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he thinks about such things. But, and then he, like, grabs Walt by the neck. He's like, I fucking trust you. I fucking trust you, motherfucker. He doesn't say fuck. He should say fuck.
He should say fuck. Most of the time, you should.
At least one. I forget if they've used their one fuck in season two yet.
They did, didn't they?
Walt saying fuck you.
Yeah, to Gretchen.
He probably should have given it to Tuco.
Well, oops, I kicked open the door.
Like, Jesse says fuck on the show more than Tuco does.
Which is zero times? I don't know.
No, he says it once. He says it to the Nazis.
Oh. No, I mean,
he's like, I'm gonna... Guy, you kill me before I make another bit of meth for you, sick fox.
I was gonna say Tuco says it zero times.
Zero, yes. And then he kind of is like, there's where he talks about it. He's freaking out. He's like, my friend Gonzo, whom I love, and he ratted me out. He had to have ratted, like, no one can find him.
Oh yeah, and so they're like, dude, we're so sorry. That's just so messed up. And then he just wants to kill Jesse really bad.
They're acting like me at every party in high school where I was invited, but clearly no one wanted me there, but I wanted everyone to think I'm cool.
Man, I was never invited to parties in high school, so good for you.
Yeah, I had one friend who was like in with the cool kids and for whatever reason brought me along, and they'd be like, I'm surprised he kept getting invited because he brought me along. And I was just baggage. Yeah, and then I would just be like, fuck, guys, you guys are good at beer pong. Damn. Buckets, guys. Shit. What? Oh,
what? Why wouldn't you want that guy there? He seems cool.
No, because everyone's like, oh, God, you're thirsty. You are thirsty for our attention and love. And I'd be like, no, I'm not. But also, do you guys want my number? Here, get out your phone. We should all exchange numbers.
I wouldn't have known how to handle it. Anytime I go to a party in LA, I'm always like, oh my God, I don't like it. I don't want it.
When I go to a party in LA, I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm a producer. And then I was like, they'll go, what have you produced? I'm like, oh, Jaws. Heard of it? Little indie darling.
And then you say, you know, the shark was named Bruce after the director's lawyer, because that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do say that.
Oh, good.
And it was originally called Bruce, but I came up with the change.
And they named the great white in Jaws, in Nemo, after the Jaws shark, Bruce. His name is Bruce. Sorry.
Okay.
Just trust me. It that didn't make sense.
I don't not believe you. I have never seen Jaws.
Have you seen Nemo?
Finding Nemo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Finding
Nemo. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good movie. I up until recently, up in the last few years, I had seen all the Pixars. And now I'm several behind.
I don't know that I'm as big of a fan as I was. I think I liked Inside Out, and then I stopped.
I really liked Inside Out. I've heard I need to watch Soul.
No, you don't. That one sucks.
I heard Soul's great. Was Soul bad?
I didn't like it.
Oh, you're the first I've heard that. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
I've heard
me and my kids were like, what is this? Bullshit. Like,
no, wait, are you a person who likes WALL-E or a person who doesn't like WALL-E?
I like WALL-E a lot.
Okay, I like WALL-E a lot. Some people really don't like WALL-E. They think I got too artsy-fartsy.
No, that one was fantastic.
I thought WALL-E slept. Yeah.
Yeah. Toy Story 3 is one of my all-time favorite films.
Oh, I thought Toy Story 4 was dog shit.
Yeah, Toy Story 3 really... 4 is dog shit. They should have ended it after 3, period.
Ugh. Yeah, but except for the Spork. I like the Spork.
Sporky?
Buster Bluth is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My ex-boyfriend was just in a movie with him. What's his name?
Oh, God, what's his name?
Tony Hale.
Tony Hale.
Yeah.
From Veep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were just on... Just you wait. They were just in a movie that's going to be a big deal coming out real soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can we get Tony on the pod?
We could definitely get my ex, but I don't think we could get Tony.
Okay. All right.
If you want to, Tony Hale makes his appearance in the first season.
We need to make a Hail Mary for Jesse Plemons. I think we could do it.
His wife's about to have a baby, and he fucked up his leg. Like, I don't think he's coming to read it already.
So if we go to him we go up to him with a microphone, what's he going to do? Run?
He's got a bunch of baby in his hands, and he can't get anywhere. Yeah.
I want to talk to him so bad, and I want to only ask him questions about season one. And he's like, I wasn't there for that.
Talk to him about Better Call Saul and see what he has to say.
Okay. What else happens?
Oh, wait, yeah. So he makes burritos. I didn't actually expect him to know how to cook. I guess that was sexist on my part.
A little bit, yeah.
He didn't present like a man who knows how to cook. I don't know how to tell. Like, I can look at you and I could say, yeah, Adam knows how to cook. Like,
but I don't. Like, why would you think I know how to cook?
Because, well, one, you talk about making fried rice all the time.
Oh, I do that. That's like my catchphrase on this podcast. That's true. I have done that. Here's all my cooking, guys. I pick a protein, you know, your chicken, your beef, whatever I'm feeling that day. Cut it up into little cubes. I put it on a skillet and then throw vegetables in there.
What would you like?
I want a hug.
Okay, you can come have a hug. Aw,
Meg's son wants a hug. I haven't seen Brock in forever. Hey, Brock.
I hugged.
Thank you. I love you.
Okay.
Okay, wait. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Can I keep that in?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. Cool. That was adorable.
Yeah, he's sweet.
I haven't seen Brock in forever.
Yeah, he's grown up since you've seen him.
He's like, his voice is so deep.
No.
He's like, yeah. Oh, and maybe you can't hear it just because you're around him all the time, but to me, he was just like, I love you. I love you, Mom.
I remember the first time you started coming around, he was like 5, and you were like, he doesn't speak in sentences. He's crazy. I'm like, no, I think he does complete sentences. I think he was just shy or something like that.
Yeah, he wasn't speaking much sentences around me at the time. He probably would now, because he's like a grown man now.
Yeah, he's going to be 9, so, yeah.
I think Avery was 9 when I met her.
She would have been 7.
Probably. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Because she's
how apart are they?
2 years.
Oh, I guess they're pretty close. Okay, that makes sense.
Standard.
And I've known you for longer than 2 years, so.
Yes.
It makes sense that their ages would have overlapped by now.
He makes burrito meat and.
We forgot. He tried. He's like, empty your pockets. And Walt has a little baggie of meth. And he's like, you should try it. Tuco, you should try it.
Yeah, it's stinky, but you should try it.
And then he doesn't like chili powder.
Yes.
That's a thing he doesn't like.
Yes, because Jesse was like, no, it's the bomb. It stinks, but you're going to love it. And then he's about to try it. And then he goes, I don't like chili powder, which he seems so impulsive. I don't know why he'd be so reluctant, even if this was stinky.
And then while he's cooking, I love while he's cooking. And Jesse's like, you got the C-bomb. You should be all like heroic and shit.
Oh, yeah.
The C-bomb's a fun way to say cancer.
Yeah, yeah. That entire time, Tio is kind of just staring at the television. I think they don't believe he can communicate at all.
Mm-hmm.
They
think he's like full-on catatonic, because we haven't heard the bell yet, I don't think.
No, he's just done nothing. He's just kind of like, the Tio, like, Otuko will get in Tio's face and be like, what do you think, Tio? And nothing happens. So I think,
man, and I guess you don't have the context because you haven't seen anything before this, but like, this is Tio's first appearance. So they're writing this and they're like, all right, Tuco takes him to the desert somehow. And like, what about it? What if an old man's there? He's got a bell. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that comes up in a writer's room. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you researched how Vince put this together, he must have, like, read a lot about just, you know, drug cartels and, like, the little orbit, little satellites and the people in them. And there must have been some detail of, like, how a cartel would take care of, like, an elder member that had a stroke. Mm. And, like, maybe there really was a person. Because, like, I recently read articles that, like, inspired me to write a pilot based in real life, right? So there must have been some part of this that actually happened, because I don't know how you randomly generate nearly catatonic silent man in a wheelchair who's had a stroke so bad all he can move is this, and he rings a bell, right? Like, that has to be inspired by something in real life.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Yeah, that actually kind of reminds me. I forgot I was going to tell you this at some point early in the season. I don't know if you. I can't really tell. Apparently, season two is the only season they like. Maybe I need to look up before I talk out my butt, but like, where they tried to like totally map out the season before they started writing it. Cause every other season, they just kind of like, they call it jazz. They're like, we just write.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. And in this season, like, that's with the plane shit and all that. And like, apparently this is the Vince Gilligan's like least favorite season to write.
Wow. For that reason. Yeah. That's just like, I would love to be in a writer's room like that, but I've just learned to write, and I don't know how to map out a season of a series, but
I wouldn't know how to do that. That sounds very hard. And Tuco snorts meth off a knife.
Yeah, he.
I like that.
He's very Crocodile Dundee about it. Yeah,
in the biz, that's called an affect, and I like it. I think it's cool. And he shoots a cow.
Yeah, yeah. Tuco is really it truly is the Wild West out there.
Sorry. My least favorite part of the episode, the one thing in this crown jewel of content that I don't like is he's serving them the burritos, right? Yeah. And they're like, we really need to poison this man.
Yeah.
Or else we're fucked. And when Tuco just grabs his uncle's wheelchair, Walt flops open this giant burrito of Tuco's and just, he's like, I hope he doesn't look left at all. It's very cartoony, and it's like, and then Tuco happens to be like really into what's on the TV for a second.
Yeah, I don't understand why he couldn't have just like powdered like on the top. Like, what difference would it make?
Yeah, on the top. Exactly. Yeah, that would have been much smarter.
Yeah.
But Tio sees it, and that's what the important thing. And then I get that little tense scene where we hear the bell for the first time.
So I believe this is ricin, what he has, but I could be wrong. It could be a different ingestible poison.
Could be.
But the ricin, they described it as like having a couple day effect, like taking a couple days to kick in. So I don't know that it, like, by that point, their cousins would have already come and kidnapped them, right?
Yeah, you shoot the shots you get, I guess. If they had time to run to the poison store and get something more specific, I'm sure they would have.
Yeah.
But that's what they had.
Fair.
Yeah. And then Tio saves his nephew's life for a time.
Yeah. He dings his bell every time that Tuco is about to take a bite, and then he's like, what is it? Why are you doing that? Like, he just, everything is just right away, just way off the handle.
And then he does the old switcheroo, and he gives him the poison one, and Tio's like, I don't want this.
No, this is garbage. This is, as my son would say, deep trash, and he throws it on the floor.
Your son calls stuff deep trash.
Yeah, he says, this is deep
trash.
That's
very fun. That's a pilot right there. That's a sitcom name. I don't know what it's about, but...
Is that a phrase you'd heard before, or is that...
No, I love it.
Yeah, he'll just say something like, oh, yeah, McDonald's is deep trash, but he likes McDonald's.
Well, he's fucking wrong.
Well, no,
there.
I'm just giving you an example. Like, he'll describe... Okay. He'll say, what was that guy's name? Carlos Mencia is deep trash. He doesn't actually know. I'm trying to think of like something. Like
your son followed the whole Carlos Mencia, Joe Rogan
thing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He followed that. He watched Mind of Mencia for a long time.
Your son like hates, and he's seven, right? No, he's nine.
He's going to be nine.
He's going to be nine. Yeah, he hates joke stealing. I've noticed that. intellectual theft is something he seems to care deeply about for a nine-year-old boy.
He's principled in that way. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also loves the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, no,
so
he
that's
talks
also
a lot about that. He particularly likes it when Elon Musk is on. Then they're watching TV and... Yeah, he kills a cow, and he's like, look it, there's no cow left because I shot it so good. which just seems like a weird way to pass time. I don't know who that would occur to do that. What causes T.O. to start ringing his bell? I don't know.
He just does it. He just, like, does it at him. After the meal, T.O. continues to ring the bell until Tuco realizes, like, he's like, are you trying to fucking tell me something? Because he keeps saying, he's like, don't tell me you're hungry. Don't you dare. And he just kind of notices Tio's like just staring at Walt.
Yeah.
Because he can make expressions and like look at people.
Yeah.
Like Walt and Jesse don't know that yet. And then they're like, is it because you changed the channel? And this is where we learn one ding means yes. Mm. And then he does this weird like tribal thing where he starts banging his gun up and down.
Yeah. Just guy's a headache, weird, man. It's just too much.
You ready for more of it?
Oh, boy. I wonder how they got wrapped up with this nutbag. He gets all up in their faces. He drags them outside, right?
Jesse specifically. I think he really wants to keep Walter out.
Yeah, he wants to kill the shit out of Jesse. He's about to do it. Jesse finds a rock on the ground, and Walt doesn't shoot Tuco, and Jesse bangs him.
Distracts him by telling him they poisoned him.
Oh, yeah.
Calls him filth.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Walt kind of saves Jesse's life, and he's like, I need him. I need him alive.
Oh, yes, that's true. He does do that.
So we like him.
No, wait, no.
Okay.
did a
pretty good thing.
We don't know that he's not just doing that for himself, though.
Okay. I think it was pretty nice of him. If you saved my life, I'd be like, thanks, Meg.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't also be doing it just because I wanted to finish the podcast. I'd be doing it because you're my friend and I care about you.
Okay.
So that happens. And they're like, let's go. Let him bleed. I don't want to kill nobody. And they go to leave. Mm-hmm. And you know who shows up?
Hanky Panky.
Yeah, Mr. Hanky Panky. And Hank's like, hey, is Mr. Pinkman? Oh, nope, it's that guy I thought I wouldn't find.
A man covered in blood, yeah. Who I was talking about this morning.
He pulled out a semi-automatic rifle, and boy, does he shoot it at Hank. And Hank has, I guess, a clip of like 20 bullets in that pistol. I don't know.
He reloads.
He does, but not before really firing a bunch of shots.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't count.
Me neither, but it was definitely more than eight, you know?
Was it more than eight? Certainly. Okay, is eight box standard for a gun?
I really wouldn't be able to tell you. But I thought, like, a revolver, I guess it's a pistol, it has, like, a clip of bullets. I bet you could probably have, like, 18, right? I don't know.
If there's certain button combinations where you can get infinite ammo.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you did that.
That's probably it. Then... while they're both reloading, Hank is able to take, as he would put it, an effective shot.
Do you know what type of car Hank has here?
It's a Jeep.
But what model?
It's probably a Compass?
No, it's a Jeep Commander. Everyone knows that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it's telling me that's what it is, but I knew.
Oh, okay.
Because I like cars a bunch.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, and then Walt, like, it's not till after... They think it's the cousins who's in the car, but it's Hank. And Walt's like, after Tuco's dead, he's like, holy fuck, it's Hank.
Yeah.
This got complicated.
and
then they run away.
Yeah. And that's that, ain't it?
Oh, we hear the bell. The haunting bell.
Oh, yes.
From indoors. It's very Poe-esque.
I guess the cousins show up to help him, I guess. Like, I was like, how does Tio get help, you know?
Well, they send him to an old folks home, like, immediately. He has a nurse the next episode.
I know, but who lets him know that he needs a nurse? Like, how does a nurse get assigned to him?
I'm assuming Hank, like, it's a crime scene.
Oh, yeah, like, I guess right, he's discovered. Yeah, he's not like, never again for this shit.
Yeah, he's gotta call it in.
Yeah. Okay, good point. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
That's okay. I'm so smart.
You are.
I'm a smart boy. Okay, so, Meg.
Yes.
What grade do you give this episode?
This is an A. I feel like it's a bit of a romp.
Fuck yes.
It's self-sustained in that, like, I don't know, we have an objective. The objective is cleared at the end, you know? I thought this was good. And I think this, The Ringer makes this, you know, 13th? I'm not sure.
I think this is criminally high on The Ringer's list. It is 25.
Really?
And I think it's, and I am looking at what's 24 and 23 episodes we have seen. And I'm like, these are good. I mean, there's not a bad episode of Breaking Bad, but these I've grilled is so much better. Like the one right ahead of it is Confessions from season 5, then Live Free or Die, the first one from season 5.
Yeah.
Which is just the one about magnets, which I love, but I think this is better.
Yeah.
And then we got Cornered, which is, this is, you know, I think this should be in the top 10, baby.
Yeah, I was thinking it was that, because giving it 13th, but wow, damn.
Yeah, because I think it's like it's a masterclass in tension.
Yeah.
And burrito making, I don't know.
Was there no Wonder Fives?
There's none, not a single one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But boy, yeah, I don't have to deal with putting that music in.
That must be nice.
Yeah, it's
good. Yeah, I mean, all around a pretty, like you said in the middle of the episode, like, oh my God, we're already halfway through this, like just moves forward so fast. And yeah, you're right. It just was a, you know, it was a good episode.
Yeah, it's a weird, I mean, I guess maybe if you ever watch this all the way through, it's a weird episode to have as your second in your season.
Yeah.
That it's such it really, I don't know, it ties a bunch of stuff up and then sets a bunch of other stuff in motion. Like, it's a weird second episode.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. So, I guess we'll see what happens in the next 8 weeks. The amount of time left on our show is the amount of time in a typical American improv class.
Oh my God.
8 weeks.
So if I were to start a class right now, by the time it was done, I would be through level one. I'd be $340 poorer, and I would have finished the rest of this podcast and series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
guys, this one went a little long, but I'm glad we did it.
Yep.
I'm fine. I think this one justified its length.
We had a fun time. We went down some tangents.
Had a fun time.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all our tangents are actually, like, you know, if you string them all together, it's a storyline.
Yeah. So somebody work on that hype super edit. Yeah.
Someone do that. all right.
So I guess.
Well, until next time.
A mighty fine Heisenberg.
A mighty fine Heisenberg to you,
fair listener. Bye.
Bye.